Hey, welcome guys. This is our third episode of Part-Time Rambles. We're here joined by Tyan.
Hey.
And Josh.
Hey, what's up?
Today we're going to be talking about whether souls exist in a body and what that means. But first off, let's start off. Do you guys even think that there's a soul in the body?
I mean, personally, no. I really don't. I think it comes down a lot to whether or not something happens to your consciousness after death, or like during life, whether your consciousness is controlled by you yourself and what you're doing at a given time, or if it's almost predetermined. And I think saying there would be a soul would make it predetermined. And same with going, if you were to die, your soul would disappear or stay or vice versa, however you want to look at it. And I just don't think either of those things happen.
What do you think?
I think there's some type of soul, whether it's the traditional version of it stays attached and there's some type of afterlife. I'm not necessarily attached to, but the fact that there's like something more than just the matter that exists, if that makes sense. I think there's something there, especially with the brain and how groups of people interact and how certain mentalities and stuff end up driving an overall change that wouldn't have been there just physically.
I think for me, like, my biggest question is just like, if you were to, so like, if you were to take a brain and you were able to preserve it, right? We found a way and place it into someone else's body. Could we revive? I don't know about revive. That sounds weird. But like, would they have the functionality? Would that person, that whoever's brain it was, would that be the person? And do they need something else to be that person? It's just like, it's hard to say because I don't really think for there to be a soul, it's kind of just like, I don't know, weird to me. I don't think there is a soul, really. But I also don't think that if you put someone else's brain in someone else, that'd be them. I don't know. In general.
I think when we look at, like, the medical soul, like, which I kind of feel like is how you're taking it, as if you're to take one person's brain, put it in another person's body, and would they be the same person in that second body? What I kind of think about on that in that sense, or in those terms, is how would that brain react to being introduced to a new ecosystem, realistically, right? Or to make it more simplified, almost, if a person was a brain and planets were a body, if we took a person and put them on a completely different planet, I don't think they would react. They would have at all any, like, nothing would be the same for them, right? So I think the brain kind of almost works in the same way. If you took it out of a body that it's grown up, is a weird way to put it, but if you take it out of a body that its entire existence has been inside of, and you put it in something else, it's gonna completely throw off that organism, that brain is going to be like, what is all this? You know, even if you were to connect every single little neuron perfectly, the signals and everything would be so different comparatively to each person. And I think that's where you get this, like, difference of, you can't say that there is, like, a soul within that brain only due to the fact that's the way a person acts or something, because what you're seeing as a soul, in my opinion, is really just innate or learned responses that a person is having to any given situation. And when you change the situation or you change the environment that something's in, it's going to react differently no matter what.
Makes a lot of sense. Or, like, I mean, in general, when you put organs in another body, they're going to either accept it or reject it. And then when you're talking about the brain, which, like you said, it's not possible. I don't think it'll I'm not sure if it ever will be. If it were to, it probably would have some. It definitely would have some effects. Especially if, for example, we changed it up and gave it were to take a brain. And, or I don't even know if there's really a big difference. Like, if you took a male brain and put it in a female body. I imagine there's some difference, or I don't know.
Okay, so what about ideas like Altered Carbon, right? Where they discuss more like the consciousness is this idea that you don't even use the brain, you're almost like an electronic download. And then they graft you onto a different body, because bodies are simply just building blocks of different elements. So they have a body created for you that they can then essentially eject your consciousness into.
So I haven't seen Altered Carbon. I've only seen like one episode of the series. So I wanted to ask, like, how exactly do they say upload or like download or up whatever the consciousness? Is it I know it's something like in the back of their neck or something, but is it constantly rewriting information, or is it one time overwrites like the data, you could call it, in the brain, and then that's how that person acts from then on? How does it work exactly?
It's like essentially like a little save cube with your consciousness, but then it continually rewrites as it's on, and then when they pull it out of the system, it freezes there. So then it's like those arguments, obviously, right? If that person is even, you know, the same person that you start out as and blah blah blah. But then as far as like a soul goes, if that person can actually maintain being that person versus just becoming essentially only their environment or only greed or only something else.
I think I watched a little bit of Carbon. I don't remember, but it wasn't there. There was a point where they had multiple copies of one person, and that was supposed to be not allowed, right? And then, like,
yeah,
I forgot what that interaction was, but like, they basically were both like, I don't know, they were both the person, but they were different, right?
Yeah, because there was like, it was essentially a copy of himself before. So he had all of his older memories, but from that point in time. So then all of the new stuff that had happened, he never even knew about. And then, I don't know if y'all plan to watch it, so I don't...
I think I did watch it, but I forgot everything. It's one of those things.
One of those shows.
But, like,
I think leading along those lines, where if you had a copy of somebody's consciousness, their soul, whatever, right, and you were to copy that, so have two copies, you set one to the side and then re-upload one back into the same person, it's pretty obvious that copy that's been re-uploaded will change, that soul, that like consciousness, that person will change due to the new experience that they've overcome or been introduced to in the time that they were separated from their original, we'll call it like a save date, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, when I think of like a person's soul, when I think of a person, if they have like a soul, or generally just a person in general, is they gain those experiences, they gain those reactions, they gain that, like, that morality, or even you might call it, due to their experiences, they gain it due to what's happened in their, like, environment. And that's where I see a soul being different and not being able to be recreated it really in almost like any terms, I don't know. And I think that's maybe that's kind of like the magic of like, would we ever know if it's a soul or not? Because you'd never have that opportunity to reintroduce like a brain into another person's body and see how it reacts. Yeah. I mean, who knows, we'll actually be able to, but. And I don't know, that's where I guess I get so hung up on like, no, I don't think there's a soul, because it seems like if there's never an opportunity to see that answered, I just say, no, it doesn't exist.
I feel like the soul question also becomes hard, because if you can, it's like the same thing with like fate, I guess. If you say that we don't have a soul, and then we're only off of instinct, then it's like any choice you make is not necessarily like, it's your choice as far as it's built into you, but like your conscious ideas or beliefs about it of actually making a choice, yes or no, would not necessarily be your choice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess you're saying,
yeah,
because the soul would be holding some type of information if it did exist, right? But, mm-hmm. So, okay, but I guess there's another important question that we have to kind of understand. Well, we can't understand, but ask. So, if you do think there's a soul,
mm-hmm.
then where do you think it goes? Yeah.
That's a question that I simply, I mean, don't know. Don't know how to necessarily test for without, you know, dying.
Well, yeah.
But I think that, I don't necessarily think that it's God in some specific way. Like, I think the idea of spirit and soul can exist differently than how it's been traditionally thought of. Yeah. But like, I don't know, there's so many different accounts of like spiritual things, or either weird ghost things, or things that can't necessarily be explained, things being done during their time, like the pyramids and stuff being done. Not that that could have never been done, but the way it was done and how fast they do it is very interesting. Random stuff like that, where it's like spirit tends to hold some role, and something that tends to ties together more than just pure nature, or if that is nature in itself.
Yeah, okay. So when I asked that question, I had a follow-up. I didn't really want it to go for like, I it was important, because not that it was like, oh, will it go like to heaven or hell or whatever you think it goes, but more as to, so if you think there's a soul, right, and you don't know where it goes, but in the context of altered carbon, let's say, you die, when you die and you come back to life, you remember how you died and blah, blah, blah. But when that information is coming back, I feel like, so like if there was a soul, so then you'd only, realistically, a person would only have one soul. So if you're being rewritten, if there was a soul, if you're being rewritten, then that rewritten wouldn't really have a soul. That would be just something that exists, like, on that. It would just be data at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, really good AI, because it's not that person, because that person would have originally died. Yes, you gave them all that information to move into a body, but that's what I'm saying, right? So it wouldn't really be the same person if we're going, if there was a soul. If there isn't, I guess it'd be the same person.
See, that's where I wonder, like, in an instance with like altered carbon, is it that they're uploading a consciousness and literally rewriting the brain to form that consciousness, or like, it's pretty much, where does that information go? They've downloaded all of this information from somebody's soul or whatever, and now they're putting it into a new person. And what happens to that information when it goes in there? Because like, where does that sit? Where does that exist in a person?
In I guess like their stack, but it's attached into their central nervous system, and then routed through the brain and everything.
So that's where I almost wonder, like, is it almost adjusting the information? Like, okay, so you put this stack, right, into a person. It's constantly learning, updating, and memorizing this person's, like, interactions. At the same time, it's probably also having to, like, decipher each, you know, neuron firing that person's body to say, oh, when this neuron fires, this is the response that the brain will have or the brain will get when given that external source, you know what I mean? When you put it into a new person, it's almost like that, it's just taking that information and adjusting it so that the new brain can understand information in a different way, you know what I mean? And that's where maybe they're able to transfer the consciousness. It's rewriting the way that the new brain, like, sees the world, right?
Yeah. See, it's just weird because if we're continuing talking this in the context of Altered Carbon, you'd imagine that they'd have all this information, like, in a cloud or a server or something, but it's like, it's in the stack, and the stack, because you're not supposed to have more of one copy of the same stack, because obviously you'd make multiple people the same person. Mm-hmm. When you destroy the stack, that person cannot be made anymore. So mm-hmm. copies of your stack so they make it so.
Yeah, like, unless you're part of, like, the government and things like that.
Which is it's just weird because it's like, then it's not just data they could just have, because if they could just store the data, they would, and then they could do it. But if it's just contain this, I'm not exactly too sure. But I mean, like, I guess Altered Carbon is just the easiest way to talk about soul in another context, or like if they're, you know, it's just an interesting scenario.
I think when I think about, like, a person's soul, what it brings me to is thinking about people who have died and, like, died for an extended period of time. So, like, been called legally dead in a hospital, right? And then doctors are trying to revive said person, and person does happen to be brought back to life. And there's numerous accounts of people saying that, like, oh, I had these crazy thoughts or crazy mental images, or, like, this is what I was thinking while I was quote-unquote dead this whole time. And you hear stories of people saying, well, oh, I saw demons and I saw angels, or I saw a bright light, I saw this, that, or the other thing. And where my mind goes is, well, if I was to fall asleep, it's not death, but obviously it's like your brain slowing down or shutting down for a period of time, in a sense, right? Going into those different stages of sleep, your brain's still doing something. So even as your brain's dying, it's still doing something, right? Your brain is still processing whatever information either it had or has had, and is firing off some type of neurons to support that or whatever, right? So to me, it almost seems like it's almost just a learned consciousness of, I've heard about these things happening. As you're dying, you're in a state of realizing, like, oh, I'm dying, right? Your body either knows it, like, subconsciously, and that, like, oh, my heart's stopping, like, I know I'm dying right now. Or it's, you know, you're dying because, like, you got shot and you're in a hospital, like, trying to be saved, right? And your brain's now processing this information. As you die, it maintains that process throughout that death period, and fires whatever information it can think to maybe save you. I don't know. And that's where I kind of get lost, where it's like, why do people have these thoughts? I think that it's a trained thought, but I don't necessarily know if that's a soul providing this information, or it's like a soul giving you this information, or if it's just your brain telling you whatever garbage it wants to think at the time. And I'm more on the side of brain telling you a bunch of garbage, but I don't know if that's necessarily true, right?
I think, okay, at least for me, this is the way I see it, is like, the soul exists to me because there's my brain function, right? There's what my brain can do and can tell me and tries to do. But then there's also like this manual override feature where I can tell for certain things, tell my body or tell myself to do it. And by changing my mentality and changing my attitude, I can actually change stuff about me or change stuff about the world I'm in. And like that extra pool to me is where soul comes in. Because like you're saying, it's like, oh, if that's what my body is telling me. If you're trained, like you're saying, I can see that happening, especially because if your brain was told its whole life, especially by you and listening to other people, that, oh, you see God or oh, you see angels when this occurs, then your brain might jump to that mode to help explain to you that, hey, it's kind of over right now. And this is the best way I know how to show you that it's over. But the fact that you have that interaction where it's like, hey, I know you, the brain has to understand, hey, I know you don't understand this because you're separate from me, but I'm showing you right now that we can't go on. So like that aspect is where I think soul exists, and that's where I'm like, oh, it doesn't necessarily have to be God, right? Because maybe it's just using God to be like, hey, this is the best way you understand death. But maybe there's some connection between people. There's some like small string in the background that actually allows us to be more connected than we realize. Even though in this instance you're dying, it's like, oh, this is just a part of life anyways. This was always supposed to happen. Your brain's telling you it's happens, and then what happens next just happens next.
Okay, well, when you say that, do you think, when you say like there's something separate from the brain, right? Are you saying more like, are you saying the conscious is separate from the brain? Or are you saying like there it's something else?
See, that's where it gets hard. Yeah. It's like the conscious can't exist without the brain. But on one hand, the brain can't exist without the conscience. So for me, I'm like, that tells me they're in some way separate, but they're still connected, but not the same, like squares and rectangles essentially. But how is whether I believe the consciousness is and like emotion and all those things is an adaptation that nature had in order to help figure out the best way to evolve and progress, and whether that shows that the soul is more of a connection to the actual world and like the I don't want to say universe, the connection to atoms and stuff, in the sense that like that's essentially what we're created from and all that connection. Or if a soul is something else. You want to say, Josh?
So I always just wonder if we can like define the term. Like if we can define a soul as being, is that your conscious thought, or is this like an overwhelming direction in which your like being wants to travel? So like I don't know, like I would generally say I'm a decent person, right? So is it my soul that pushes me to being like a decent person, or is it my conscious thought that is saying like, hey, you probably shouldn't be a dick to people all the time? Like, and that's where I kind of wonder, like, maybe we should try to define the term of like, is a soul A or is it a soul B?
To me, that's where it's kind of hard, because it's like a soul. Okay, the way I think about it is like a soul is essentially the conscious thought part, but like your actions are the interaction between your soul, which is conscious thought, and then your body, which is like the material world. and like how that interacts, if that makes sense. So then that way, like yeah, you kind of have a choice on what you're doing, but you're also constantly fighting against the machine you're in, which has a bunch of genetics and responses to events in it.
That's an interesting concept. I would almost say, like, you could almost define a soul as being like the chemical makeup of your brain almost then. So like it's a mixture of the physical neurons firing, and then, well, I guess it's still physical, the physical neurons firing, and then like the chemicals and such interacting within your brain, causing you to act and feel a certain way. So like would you almost say that maybe like your soul is your subconscious?
I wouldn't say. See, that's the hard. That's the part where it's difficult for me.
Or does it almost seem more like spiritual in a sense, where your soul is being defined as, yes, it is your subconscious, but it's also a more spiritual sense of like, it's the way that your person or your theory of self interacts with that around you.
This part becomes difficult for me because this is the part I don't know. I don't necessarily know if the soul pertains to God or the soul pertains to like the being. So what if the soul was more like, instead of God, it was this giant creature that was connected to the earth, and the way, because in a separate dimension from us, the only way it knows how to experience the earth is by like through these small 3D portals, and because we're so shattered, there's like this disillusionment of self where we believe we're all separate because, you know, we're like individuals, but because we're one species and one thing, we like have this mass paranoia that we now have to believe we're a separate self, or we kind of go a little crazy. So it's like whether those are the end results of what a soul is, I don't know. So then how that interaction takes place becomes difficult for me to then understand from there, if that makes sense.
And I think defining the soul is kind of a hard thing, especially with the whether it pertains to God or not. I think I'm leaning more towards that, like, there probably like isn't a soul, but it's kind of scary to think that, because if you think that, then when you're gone, you're kind of just gone. And it's just like, it sucks. Why are we here? You know? But I mean, I don't know. I want there to be something like that, but if you are to believe there, I guess it's easier to believe that there is something like that because you don't want to just, you know, die. And I think in general, a lot of people probably believe, I think more people believe in souls than don't, honestly. And that's probably because but that probably has a lot to do with religion more than anything.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's interesting. Why would people believe that in the first place? Is it because we evolved emotion, and emotion led to certain like vanities that then led to the idea of souls and wanting to preserve ourselves? Or is that how our subconscious, because that's also what, because he asked about the subconscious. The reason I brought up like the creature that connects to this world through a different dimensional thing was because, like, imagine if the soul was a mixture, right? It's like you have the soul, which is how everyone is connected, and that becomes your subconscious. But when it connects, it kind of fractures, and then you have the idea that you're in a separate body from everything, and that consciousness is like your essential personal soul. But then your subconscious is how connected or non-connected you are to the original soul, and then all your innate feelings are the body and your attachment to the actual earth.
I almost want to say that, like, I guess I'm a pessimist when it comes to it, right? So I feel like when we are gone, the soul is just gone, or whatever you want to call the soul is just gone. And it is a very pessimistic thing, way of thinking, in that, like, yeah, it's sad to think that way, and it's not fun to think that way, I don't think. But I completely see what you're saying with, like, if your soul is part of, like, a bigger thing where you... But it makes me think back to, like, the way we were trained. If, you know, self-preservation, right? You mentioned it's a common thought among all living things. All living things are trying to consistently survive, right? Nothing has a general purpose of, like, trying to just get rid of its own species. I mean,
but why?
And I, the only reason I can think is because why not? Like, why would you, what would be the point, or what would be the, there would be no legitimate, there'd be no way to function as a species, as any type of species, if your end goal was not to continue having more of that species. If we were all pre-programmed to just, you know, say whatever, like, go with the flow, and just, if we die, we die, then I don't think that species would last, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when I think of, like, the soul in that way, I just think of how, like, it's probably just your subconscious pushing you to do whatever you think you can to survive. And if your soul is your subconscious, I would just say that your conscious thought is your standard being. It's just you as a person. It's what you're expressing consistently is what shows the type of person you are, and not necessarily your soul. And it, I don't know. I guess that's where you see, like, you could say, like, is this person a good person or a bad person? Because if a person's constantly expressing they're a bad person, are you going to say that their soul is bad? Maybe it's not. Maybe their soul is telling them not to do that, right? Maybe their subconscious, whatever, is telling them not to be that way, and they're pushing against it. But it works vice versa. So I don't know. It's very interesting. It's very weird to conceptualize a person's soul into something physical, I guess. I think when you have to think about a soul, you have to think about it in, like, a spiritual way, because there's no real way to say, oh, a soul has to be in this place, or a soul has to sit in this area between self-thought and subconscious. I don't know.
Speaking of, like, conceptualizing and, like, having to think of it, you know, spiritually, you guys know that there's a weight for a soul. Like, and do you know why there's a weight for a soul?
Like, you're talking about, like, the Egyptian idea?
Or... No. So, okay. So, I think it's 21 grams. So, that it says. And that, so basically, I used to watch these, like, these shows where these scientists were, like, doing some, like, weird experiments, right? So, the scientists had, like, a really small sample size. It was, like, he went to a nursing home, like, he grabbed, like, I don't know, it was like 10, maybe even less, like, patients, and they were, like, terminally ill. So he got them to come to him when they were about to die, and he laid them on something that, like, weighed them, and as they died, he would weigh to see how much weight they lost, and see, and he tried to explain it as if they lost any weight, that was their soul. So some lost weight, and it was like 20 around 21 grams, and then others lost it and gained it back. Some didn't lose any, and then he didn't report some of them. So, like, and his sample size was really small, so
it was a really bad scientific experiment.
Yeah, yeah, saying, yeah. but it's mostly because I don't think it was an ethical experiment, so no one would let him do it, you know. So, because the only way to really make a conclusion would be to have, like, hundreds, maybe thousands of, like, actual, like, weighing. And he couldn't get that. But, so, like I said, some of them, there was unexplained weight loss. And some, I remember them trying to just, like, this experiment's bogus, like, for the most, because it doesn't have a big enough sample size to matter anyways. But what I'm saying is, like, I wonder if if we were able to do a bigger sample size, would we get any type of result off that thing? Because I know it's kind of crazy, but I mean, if people sign a paper and they're like, okay, weigh me when I die, it's like, okay, and then we have a big enough thing. And like, I do wonder why, what's the explanation for the weight, that amount of weight lost for some of those patients? Because it's kind of like, I think in the thing I was watching, they tried to say it was like the excrement that left the body, it's not like it like fell to the ground. They were on a thing. So like that was still there. You know what I'm saying? Wow, but I mean, that was just an interesting experiment.
That, I don't know. Like if I farted, do you think I'd lose weight? I'm just feeling I don't know. That is where my mind went, but go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like that would be taking into account the amount of air that leaves your body, but I doubt it's enough to weigh.
I don't know. Yeah. That's a good question.
Is that the idea that, like, when you're standing there alive, your soul weighed something, and then when you died, that's the weight gone?
No. That's not the idea. He was trying to prove that there was a soul. So
yeah, I hear that.
So he tried to see if there... So if the soul leaves your body, whatever it is, he was saying, maybe you can weigh it. So that was his idea. So he tried to find a physical weight, and when some of the patients lost the weight, he recorded it, and his experiment got published. And so now, like, if you look up the weight of a soul, it says 21 grams. I think it's 21.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and it should be taken with a grain of salt. But the actual experiment interests me because.
Yeah,
grains of salt. It is a very interesting concept for an experiment.
It's an interesting concept, but it's funny because it's like you're talking about something that I guess we said inherently can't be physical. So the fact that it would have like an actual weight, is weird because it shouldn't.
I mean, but like technically, if it's okay, if it's inside you, you know, like if it's
inside... kill it, dude. Sorry. Let me read this experiment right now. The 21 grams experiment refers to a scientific study published in 1907 by Duncan McDonald. No, McDougall, a physician from Haverhill, Massachusetts. He hypothesized that the souls have a physical weight and attempted to measure the mass lost by a human when the soul departed the body. McDougall attempted to measure the mass change of six patients at the moments of death. One of the six subjects lost 3/4 of an ounce, equaling 21.3 grams. Okay. Yeah, dude. Kill it experiment. That guy's so good.
It's just funny to me that it got published, and now that, like, even though no one in the science community, like, accepted his thing, that it's become, like, a...
That people believe,
like, a pseudo fact. I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah, like stuff that people say. They're like kind of tall tales, but kind of they believe. I don't know how to.
Yeah, I think I would almost call that as like a fable at this point. Like that is just one guy calling some BS. But it's a super interesting. I would wonder what would actually legitimately happen if they did like a large scale experimentation on it, and almost like if they were able to like put a person in a vacuum chamber. This is gonna sound really bad, but put a person in a vacuum chamber, you know what I mean, at the time of death, and see like the weight versus. But I don't know how it would be done properly. Like it would be all over the place.
Hey, you don't got to worry about it. We talked about a vacuum chamber in podcast one.
Babies in one.
Putting babies in a vacuum chamber. I think that a soul comes down to more of a spiritual self versus like a physical or like, a physical self. And I think that's where the concept of soul gets really lost in a lot of people, or like lost in general, is there's no way to... conceptualize like a spiritual item, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about it in another context. And when I say this, I don't mean to piss people off. It's just interesting. So
hey, better pissed off than pissed on.
So when we when people who believe in reincarnation, does reincarnation have to do with the? Do they believe in a soul? Reincarnation. It's your soul being reincarnated?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Your soul is maintained over generations of a lifetime.
Like, I've never looked into it too much because I just thought it was. So basically, reincarnation in general is just like if you were bad, then your soul gets destroyed, but if you were good, you're able to get recycled. But
To stop you there, it depends completely on the religious view, or not even religious. Like, I know Buddhists believe in reincarnation, but Buddhism isn't necessarily a religion. So it completely differs, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. But it's just interesting to me because I always felt like if you were reincarnated, mm-hmm. like, if you were to believe in that, it's just crazy to me that no one would, like, you would. I feel like reincarnation is one of those things that it's hard for me to believe, because if you believe in it, wouldn't you believe that someone would come out and say I was reincarnated and have some type of proof? You understand what I'm saying? To say, like, you have past lives and blah blah blah, and to remember that is a whole other thing.
No.
And maybe I'm talking about a specific view of reincarnation, because I don't, maybe there's a bunch of different, like, views on it, religious or non-religious.
I know a lot of them believe that, like, it's an amnesia thing. Like, usually when you get reincarnated, you don't remember. It's not like you wake up as a baby and you're like, oh damn,
I'm not saying you remember as a baby, but I'm saying when you get older and you, like, remember. And see, it's also convenient to me. That's why that's my problem with, like, most of this. It's always convenient that, like, there's always, like, a explanation to why that's the case. Like, I wonder who thought, like, whenever I look at these, I always want to look at the origin of this thing. Like, I just haven't done it for reincarnation, but it's just like, I'm pretty sure if we go to the origin of it, it was just like someone, like, made, I don't want to say that. I need to look into it more before I say anything like that.
Someone what?
No, somebody just
decided it was a certain way,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. Like, what is the origin of, like, reincarnation? Because if you have amnesia, then how would you have, what is your basis for even thinking?
That the soul is recycled, that essentially it comes down to the belief. Do you think that every single being that is made is completely fresh and a completely new being? Or do you think that every being that is made is a recycle of the same spiritual connected soul, and that this spirit is pulling souls out and putting souls back in to each of the artifices created from the atoms here on Earth?
I don't know. See, the problem with the one I'm thinking of is, like, if you were to continuously recycle and some souls are getting destroyed, then the numbers should go down. The numbers should...
No. Souls wouldn't get destroyed. Why would they get destroyed?
Because there's...
recycled.
There's certain ones that don't get recycled. For the one that I was speaking of, or that I had knowledge on, mm-hmm. it was like, so think of it with, like, with heaven or hell. You know, if you're bad, you go to hell. But with this version of reincarnation, if you were bad, your soul would get put into, like, a black hole and get destroyed, and you'd never be reincarnated.
Mm-hmm. So then there'd be some way to create souls as well. Is the only way for that belief to work?
Yeah, so you're saying there'd be, like, a definite number, or, yeah, there'd be a finite number of souls available, and once they're all gone, they're all gone. GG.
The
reincarnation that I'm like understanding, or that I'm aware of, is the like, it's almost like a trickle down effect of, like, being reincarnation from one state to another, and eventually ending at some point in time, right? So it's like Buddhists believe in the reincarnation from the seven, like, or there's seven, like, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the word, but it's pretty much their seven gods, and it goes from like angelic to like pre-life to life to human to animal to like underworld or like the death, right? And by practicing Buddhism, you can that's where I'm kind of, I don't remember exactly, but it's either you can hold off the rebirth from one step to another by, like, if you're a really good human, you could stay human for a little longer. But, you know, if your next life kind of sucks, well, he might drop you down to the animal realm. And that's, like, I don't know, it's an interesting concept, but I don't know, reincarnation would be weird. And I think that if we were reincarnated, right, I think at least my concept of the soul aligns with reincarnation just being, okay, you've been given another life. That doesn't mean you have any of the experiences that you had before. You've just been given the opportunity to live again, right? So you don't remember any of it. Nothing existed, because all of your existence, all of your memory, all of your consciousness was held within your body, and your soul is just lifeblood almost, right? So yeah. I don't know.
But see, my biggest problem with that is, like, what's the point of being given a second chance? Like, what's the point? It's like, to me, it's like, oh, your soul. But to say that is to make me think that, like, your soul has, like, there has to be an end goal for the soul to be like, yes, like, I'm given a second chance, I'm able to do, like, these things. And, like, I don't know.
So let me ask you a question. If you fail something, should you just give up on it forever?
I don't think you should give up on it forever, but I'm saying that, like,
so if it's terrible, shitty person in life, and you quote unquote fail at life and you're awful, should you just be thrown to the curb and you're, well, that sucks, you're game over?
I mean, I mean, maybe if you're thrown, see, the problem with that is, like, if it's game over, like, if you're a shitty human in life, should it be game over or not? It's like, I don't think so. You should probably be given another chance. My thing is, it's just like, it's the same either way if you don't remember. So it's like, let's say you died and someone was like, you can go either to heaven or to hell. But then they're like, you're not gonna remember anything if you're giving a second chance. And, like, sure, you would take that deal, but basically what you're saying is, like, if you go to hell, you also wouldn't remember anything. That's what I, like, if you were to actually, like, because if you get destroyed, you're not gonna remember anything because you're gone. If you get remade but to have no past experiences, you're not you anymore. You know what I'm saying? So then, like, whatever the soul is, it's like, okay, the soul has to be something else and have its own, like, goal or something. Because what's the point of it? At that point, it's the same thing, because you're gone either way. You know what I'm saying? That the yep. one, the person you are, is gone.
Maybe it's not like,
like, I don't want to be,
like, maybe to, yeah, maybe that's what the idea of the subconscious plays a role. Maybe the subconscious is your attachment to this spiritual world. So every time you are revived, there's still hints of, like, your past life and hints of things. Like, we don't even really know what dreams are, right? And they could be a multitude of things. But even dreams aside, it's like, sometimes your brain tells you things that you wouldn't normally think of. And that shit could be connected differently if you're thinking of it, you know, reincarnation wise. But either way, because, like you're saying, like, what would be the point? I any religion that I look down, if you ask deep enough, what's the point? They all essentially become pointless. Like, even if my soul went to hell and, like, what, I just spend eternity there, just, like, doing the same thing. Like, at some point, I'd just be like, oh.
That's another thing. Like, okay, if you went to hell, sure, the first couple hundred years would suck. But, like,
yeah.
But after the 300 year, getting your eye pulled out,
it just, why would it even matter? When,
like,
and then heaven is the same way. Like, the first 100 years of, like, bliss and amazing, and then it's just like, okay.
Granted, though, let's say this conversation is turning to something. But
I mean, it's better than hell, obviously. Yeah,
but let's say heaven's there, right? Right? We're yeah. there, and we're all chilling, bro. We make our cul-de-sac. We're all together. We're chilling, and like uh-huh. we're living. I feel like we'd have a long. I don't know if we'd actually just get bored. Shit, I want to do that now, but in real life.
I mean, it makes sense in our life, but imagine eternity.
Infinite life, yeah.
Exactly. You're telling me in eternity. You told me this earlier, how you would not choose a life to live forever because you would want to die.
Well, that's with the, that was with the assumption that there was something after.
So if okay. So if there's no achievement at any point in time, because like life or like death, and no matter how you weigh and look at it, right, it is the end. Whether it was positive or negative is what you've done with it, right? So if you die and you feel like you've failed, that is your option to choose that you failed. You've given yourself the trophy of failure. In death, if you choose that you've like done good, no matter how scary or unsure you're going to know of what comes next, you can say to yourself, well, I feel like I've had a good life, right? And it's that trophy that you're getting at the end that's deciding whether it was all worth it or not. So conceptually, what you're saying is, if there's an eternity of that, it doesn't matter if I'm good or bad, it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, because there's no trophy at the end to either decide on myself being good or being bad, if it was worth it or not worth it. So it's almost like saying that the soul has no effect on whether it's going to be negative or positive, or whether your life generally means something or doesn't mean anything. All it has to do with is how you react with the world that you've been given.
See, that's another thing.
It's unfortunate.
It's just like. Also, you gotta. I love how you pull in that context. You didn't finish that first part. It was, do you want to live forever unhappy, miserable, or would you rather die? I don't want to live forever unhappy. I'm sorry.
No, you could live forever unhappy or happy. Both are options. But
he's talking about another question that was like, it was like, if you were given a choice to live forever, but you'd be unhappy forever, or just die, would you choose to die?
Okay, no, this is what's funny. Yeah. No, you asked the question. You said, yeah, but there might be something after. But you don't know if there's something after.
Yeah, but I know I'm going to be unhappy forever, so I might as well die.
But there's a state change no matter what. No matter what. It's like ice turned into water. There's a state change, so something's different.
Also, here's another thing, first of all. When I was talking about the cul-de-sac thing and blah, blah, I said we'd have fun. Both of you guys kind of said things. It's just like, so when you guys say friends for life, huh? You mean yeah. A non-immortal life.
Late. Non-immortal life. That's too much of you. Screw that. Way too much.
I'm not saying we wouldn't be bored together. I'm just saying we'd be bored.
He's just saying negative or positive. He doesn't want to be around you forever. God, Ralph.
Like, I don't know, man. I feel like there's just like a point. Maybe it's not 100 years. Maybe it's 1,000,000 years in. We just all look at each other and
we're like, yo, dog, can I die now, though? Like, shit.
Look, in regular life, it's okay.
I'm not going to hear you say toxic one more time.
in regular life, it's okay. But in immortal life, I will kill you if you leave.
In immortal life, you're like, hey, fuck you, Josh. God, can you send him to hell this week? Can you do that?
Dude, oh, that'd be a very interesting concept. What if consistently you were able to switch back and forth? And you're like, oh, I'm going to be tortured for the next millennia. We'll see what happens. And then I'll bounce back to, like, you know.
See, there'd probably be like a contract, though. It's like, if you choose a transfer, there's a minimum amount of time you have to spend.
Minimal you have to spend being tortured. What kind of torture do I get? Do I get to spin the wheel so I know first? Or is it like a one-time trade kind of deal? I have to know when I get down there.
Also, here's
does that,
Wait, go
in
ahead.
hell, it's vacation time. You like you've been tortured for like 6 months, so you get like a week up in heaven. Is that how it works?
That or hell is vacation time, but it's consistently a vacation that you're tired after.
I already used my vacation days this millennia. Fuck.
I'm gonna have to see my friends again.
Okay, also, back to the context of being unhappy forever, and then, so let's say there was something after you die. You're basically saying, like, what's the difference, right? Because you'd be living forever in either way. But but the thing is, in the place I imagine afterwards, there's no thing called currency. There's not this thing called the, like, you know what I'm saying? The next place you would assume would be like a place of dreams, whereas like the world is the tragic place to be.
I mean, theoretically, you were told it was the place of dreams.
Yeah. But okay, non-theoretically, my opinion of Earth is not high, so
I'm already living in hell.
So I'm taking my chances.
I don't know, man. All I'm saying is we were built in his image. And then his best son was like, nah, man, become Satan. I don't know what they're doing up there, man. No.
So I guess if we're talking about a soul and concept of religion, right? If we were built in his image, you could technically just say, oh, our soul is part of God. Our soul is God. Mm-hmm. The piece of us that is our soul is God, and it's constantly leading us in a direction of following him or like doing as he wishes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether we get to decide to do that or not, that's one concept of a soul that could be that would be interesting.
Well, you give some people cool bad about it.
Is he's connected and we're part of that soul, but what has always been said is that God has given us free will, and that to me is what the fracture is, right? So imagine like God, you know, infiltrated all these puppets based on how he can split his soul, and so it's one giant puppet master, but then he's like, but I'll let you control yourself. Y'all watch Parasite?
No, I haven't seen it.
No.
Well, there's this idea where, like, each cell essentially can have a mind of its own. And even with atoms, you know, if there's a nucleus of an atom, it tells the atom what to do and the cells what to do with the nucleus. So imagine, like, each nucleus being able to be self-aware in itself. So if he connects that way, then everything is self-aware, but they get to make their own choices. So it's like they have a map, they can kind of like feel or guess which way is right, but they can choose whether to be correct or not. And that's where I think feelings and emotions and stuff come in, right? Like ideas like guilt and ideas like sadness and stuff that a lot of animals don't necessarily have.
I'd say lucky then.
So pretty much you're saying that if we conceptualize a soul as being a part of God and we've just been given a piece of God, our emotions and such are the fracture that separates us from God?
I think emotions are part of it. I at least think if they're not part of the soul, they're somehow part of our evolutionary track. Based on how brains develop and what animals tend to show or have emotions and what animals don't, and how their brains compare to ours, etc.
Like, I can see that.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's interesting is like, so then the question is, which I guess for me, is the chicken or the egg situation, right? Is it that we are some beings created by God, and thus because we're created by God we are all connected through his soul, or we are all this species and because we're this species, our brain has adapted by using the electrical waves and stuff in such a way that it can connect our consciousnesses only slightly. But this is just a super early form of that evolution, and the smaller ideas of emotion stuff are just barely being learned and conceptualized.
That would be interesting.
I hate to cut you guys off, but we have hit an hour. So, before I hit the outro, I do want to say one thing. So, there was a, you know, you go downstairs, things are on TV, like Supernatural, right? And this guy took over, he took the position of God. And he was writing something, like, I mean, I don't know if it was like a new Bible or whatever. And someone was saying, that didn't work out the first time. And he's like, because God put out his first draft. I'm not going to publish my rough draft. Something like that. But I just thought that was funny. But what was I saying? Basically, we've hit an hour, guys. I appreciate you guys for coming and listening. If you liked what you heard, the topic, please like, subscribe. Put in the comment section what you thought of the topic. And also, you know, any future topics you'd like us to talk about. This was Josh. And TL Gemini.